It's now 5 o'clock, Pirate Cat Radio, 87.9 on the FM dial, streaming around the planet and the internet. And next week also, hey, Naomi.
Yeah?
You do that regular series from time to time, which you call The Apocalypse, do you not?
Yes, The Periodic Apocalypse.
The Periodic Apocalypse, and I am sitting right next to me, Meadowlark. And Meadowlark has a zine, which is going to have its release party next week. Am I right, Meadowlark?
Yeah, that's right. The release party is on September 11th.
And the name of the zine is?
I called it Aftermath.
And Aftermath, and it's the aftermath to the apocalypse.
Yeah, it's mostly post-apocalyptic, but it includes the apocalypse.
Okay, so I have some post-apocalyptic reading.
That kind of sounds like Detroit. Mostly post-apocalyptic, but...
but maybe ready for a coming insurrection. In fact, at one point they called part of Detroit. But anyway, before we get to that, I was about to say they called a new building in Detroit Resurrection City, didn't they? I believe that's and they was hoping that would bring about the new Detroit. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yes, we will.
My brother, he's been living in Detroit and has some ideas which he's going to put out in this 5 o'clock segment. So anyway, so what's going to happen here? I'm going to talk to you further to next week. But this is mostly just an announcement. What's going to be happening here in the studio on the 11th?
On the 11th at 7 o'clock, I'm going to do my release party for the zine Aftermath, which is post-apocalyptica and post-modernism and post-everything.
You'd have to make it post-postmodernism at this point, really.
Well, that's if you think about the order of things. If you think post-apocalyptica and what's post-modernism doing there, then you kind of figure it out. It's actually post-postmodernism.
And we'll be able to get into more depth next week. You're going to be on the air. The party's going to be here. People are invited to come and participate in the studio. I mean, in the cafe, am I right?
Yeah, we should have a few readings and then some short films and perhaps a full-length film, too.
Will also be on the air.
Yeah, some other people.
Some of the people will be on the air. And will it be food for the body, mind, and spirit as well?
I'm not sure if there'll be food for the body, but for the mind and spirit, yeah.
Well, there's food for the body in the cafe as well.
For example, lattes made with bacon fat in them. I'm not sure if it's food for the body, but it's definitely food for thought.
Actually, I should correct myself on that. Thank you. it is food for the body because the price of admission is one can of human food, which will be donated to the San Francisco Food Bank.
Perfect. Good point. Because the food we better... We better get that food bank back filled. It's emptying out fast given the collapse of the economy. So we better start helping build that up too. That should be a project for all of us here. So bring a can of food, an open mind, an open pocketbook.
Sure, yeah.
But it's pretty much
I know
free,
you don't have much in there.
Free. And take a gander at the new journal, Post-Apocalyptic. Do I have that right?
Yeah, Post-Apocalyptic.
Postmodern. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Postmodern. Do I have that right?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so anyway, and here's Meadowlark. We'll talk to him further.
Where can we find out more? Do you have a website? Do you have a Twitter account?
Facebook? I do not have a Twitter account.
My God, man. How can you call yourself post-postmodern?
now I'm associating with some Ludditism, but...
okay, you've gone the other way. You've gone full circle.
I did recommend he take a look at the coming insurrection, and he did.
Yeah, I took a look at it. Do you want me to comment on that?
If you'd like to make a comment, you can.
Actually, I'll save it for next week.
Save that in anticipation. The bottom line is find one another and form communes or collectives and get together, and that's what we're trying to do here. And it's an elusive network of autonomy going around the planet, and here we be, and that's another segue. I'm going to use that word. We
Speaking
love this segue
of not
around
having
here.
Much in your wallet, what can you buy in Detroit for a dollar?
A square inch.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
So we have Jerry Papendorf sitting here, and you call yourself what, a tri-local? You live like...
Tri-coastal.
Tri-coastal.
Yeah. I've been on the carousel back and forth between New York and San Francisco and Detroit, Michigan, as of the last 6 months. So every couple of weeks, I hop to the next lily pad on the pond.
And you're from New Jersey originally.
I'm a New Jersey man. the most derided state in the union, I think. It's fantastic.
So you spend your, why do you spend your time between three places?
So for the last several years, for about a chunk of 3 years, I lived in Brooklyn, New York, and had a really good time. I'm kind of by trade, I say that I'm an artist and a futurist and an entrepreneur. So I'm a creative guy who likes to come up with projects, then actually push to try to see them through and get them to a point where lots of people can either see or interact or use them. And my friends and I started up a really fun internet company in Brooklyn, and we raised some money from Silicon Valley venture capitalists, which are kind of the reason that we moved here, is that we were forced to move here by our investors and then summarily fired from our company. And there were so many great things that I loved about Brooklyn, and there were so many things that I liked about San Francisco here, that I didn't want to leave either one. So I tried to find a way to bridge the two cities with creative projects. And then more recently, I've added Detroit to that route, that tri-coastal.
See, most people just steer clear of Detroit. When they design a route across the country, they pretty much don't go through it. They go around it.
I'm a little bit backwards on some things, where I think that sometimes when I see people leaving something or there's a vacancy or an absence somewhere, I tend to look at it differently and try to see what an opportunity there might be there to do good things. So basically, I'd been looking at and thinking about Detroit for a while and kind of hearing these stories that have been coming out more over the last several years about all the vacancy and the cheap property. And I was trying to get a mental image in my mind of what the city was like.
Like less than 50% inhabited.
It's about 50% if you add up properties and homes that have been vacated. There's a lot of the city it's a major American city that has a large percentage that's very much like a ghost town. So it's a very surprising thing to see.
And so there's huge, I heard the station, there are many, many buildings downtown are going back to nature, really.
This is true. So it's say
trees
that
trees in the roofs and so on.
Trees in the roofs, pheasants walking around, you know, in urban areas, a lot of urban farming, people trying to figure out what to do when you've got population decline of over half the city over the last 40 years or so, as nature kind of comes back there. It's a big city with a big downtown, but it can't be that big city in the same way anymore. So there's a lot of change happening.
And we also know they say context is everything. I think I've said that a few times, that in fact that Detroit has its whole history of a struggle of people making do, of union organizing. It's got a revolutionary history, if you will. So it is not just a vacuum. It's there. And the people are going. I mentioned Detroit Summer. I mentioned it again. I mentioned I'll talk of that, and Grace Lee Boggs and Detroit Summer. But I want you to describe more. So you've gone there with this idea of doing what?
Yeah. So basically, I'm trying to create a new little city inside of the city of Detroit on a grid of 1 million square inches, which is about 85 by 85 feet, or a city block. And the idea being that anyone inside the city or anyone anywhere around the world can move into Detroit, into this new city in Detroit, for a dollar an inch. And so I've been working on this project and trying, at the same time as I work on the project, trying to be a different kind of company, because it's an art project and I'm also trying to raise the funds to do a really great job at this. So for the last 4 months, I've been trying to raise money to build this little city by selling future inches for a dollar an inch to people to fund the process of getting a space and actually creating this grid inside of the city. So I'm basically inviting everybody to move into Detroit for a dollar an inch. It's the cheapest property that you
can. We got claps from the cafe. It was great.
That you can get your hands on. And we can, you know, try and create a really great kind of new globally networked urban center of some sort inside of that city. That's less about the physical space that it's taking up and more about the ideas and the community of the people that actually get together. And I should also say on these inches, the idea is to let people do absolutely whatever they want with their inches. So you could literally visit the space, paint them, put things on them, build up in three dimensions, and you're not limited to one. You could either get a bunch or you could team together with your friends or other people to try to build something great on this spot.
So you already have this area, this 85 foot.
We're working on it. I'll say that so far in the process, there's a particular building that we're negotiating for next to downtown Detroit on the water looking across into Canada. Detroit's the only city that looks south on Canada in the U.S., which is kind of neat. Yeah, go on.
So this particular space is surrounded by other empty spaces.
Pretty much, yeah. It's actually, this particular building is in an area called Rivertown where, I forget how many years back, but a lot of people were forced to move out of it so that the city could build casinos, but then they never built the casinos.
Oh my God.
So it was kind of an eminent domain grab and then a failed project. And then now people are coming back in and trying to do stuff.
city mismanagement is just such a, it can be pretty egregious. I grew up in Philadelphia, so I've watched a lot of that happen.
And I've lived in the squats of Philly along Baltimore Street, where there used to be block after block, just like we're describing Detroit, of empty buildings waiting for people to come in and squat them. And there are many squats in Philly. We used to feed people food, not bombs, from food, not bombs squat, many squats. So that must be happening in Detroit too, around the Cass Corridor, I think. And you're talking about that. So talking about getting a space, having these square inches, and of course this could be the beginning. You could be starting with this 85, 80, 85, and people would begin to reach out and get space around it.
It's exactly.
So this could grow in an organic
exactly.
way.
Exactly. My idea.
Like this a cancer.
like a wonderful cancer of awesome.
Yeah, let's find a better word. Don't panic. It's organic, growing organically around the city, around the country, and around the planet. And Cass Corridor is the Haight-Ashbury is a bohemian with many squats. Food Not Bombs is there. A lot of musicians, artists.
There's a lot of artists and musicians. Yeah, for sure. I've been having a great time over the last five or so months that I've been there, just meeting everybody and figuring out the scene, because it's a big city with a lot going on, but it's also a much smaller creative pool than you might find in just in other large cities. So you get to meet people pretty fast and find out what's happening.
Well, it sounds like it. I'd love to go by. I'd like to go back to visit. It sounds like a great chance. Talking about the coming insurrection again, what he says over and over again is out of this collapse, it comes real opportunities for people to find each other and to go from a time when I guess when you had a choice, I don't want to do this, I think I'll join some community, some collective, start something, to a time in which there are more and more people who have no choice and have to find other ways to survive, working together, one hopes, in an underground economy. And
there's an important part we need to cover here, which is basically the funding process, the bootstrapping process.
Please, go ahead.
Yeah, so I've been very inspired after some recent experiences to experiment with funding and running a company differently. So basically, in the process of getting this project going, and the project, I should say, is called Loveland, and the website for it is makeloveland.com, where I'm actually asking people to invest, or quote-unquote inch-vest in the future inches by, for $1 an inch that you pay right now, basically pays for me and my friends to go and work on this project. And in the process of doing that, we can have very lightweight kinds of shareholders. So anybody that wants to get involved becomes part of the community of making this whole project happen. And we're trying to do everything very transparently and organically. So you can see on the blog the kind of stories as we go in to build these things, and we have questions and we need to ask people for help. And so we're trying to not be afraid of failure and not being afraid of sometimes feeling like the bad news bears when we don't know what to do while we're building it. And so I hope to continue growing that in the future, because that would be the ideal. I would like to be able to build grand, profitable things that can make money and spend money on new projects, big new projects, without having to be secretive and without being beholden to traditional shareholders
in
a traditional
kind of
way.
Right, so the VC funding, you know, rigmarole, where you can basically get kicked out of your own project.
Yes. It inspired me to try to do something differently on that. And so I should say, too, I've been using this site, Kickstarter.com, which I think is really great, and I recommend. It basically allows anybody to post an idea that they have and a fundraising goal to go along with it, and then they make it very easy for people to give you small amounts of money until your goal is hit. And so we've basically been putting rounds of 1,000 inches up on makeloveland.com and on Kickstarter to do that. And it's been working very well.
Right. So this is a website, kickstarter.com, which a lot of people don't know about. And I think it's really interesting. I mean, especially yours as a case study, because you've been really successful. What round are you on?
We're on the second one on Kickstarter. So we're about 3,000 inches deep into the project from around 170 people around the U.S. and some in Europe and Mexico now. But we're looking to grow it everywhere. Basically, just through promoting the project on Kickstarter, we've had success getting people having fun right now, getting their future inches and kind of joining this adventure. But there's all sorts of projects people put on there, bands making albums, people wanting to do photojournalism and travel to faraway places.
Yeah, I saw this one lady. She got a Kickstarter funding project set up for her to get on a boat and sail around the world.
I gave her $50.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So it's really, really cool and really inspiring. Like, anybody there sitting out in the cafe right now can get on Kickstarter.com and look into setting up a project where you can get your community of supporters to basically become a patron of what you're doing.
And that's, I think that's one of the more powerful, I'm so excited about that, because talk a lot about, like, like alternative energy and things. And like money is really social energy, and any way that you can find a new avenue for people to express that kind of social energy to get at the people who do
right.
cool things is
which is why
really
these, you know, the alternate economy stuff that we've been talking about, the alternate currency stuff is so important as well.
So yeah, so Kickstarter.com. I'm sure you'll be able to get it on the Twitter. We're putting out Naomi, my co-host, will be putting that out as she does, and also
it's a done deal, Dave.
It's a done deal. It's a done deal, and also your which is
MakeLoveLand.com.
MakeLoveLand.com. Are you going to be back there in Detroit in the Motor City next week?
Next week, yeah.
Okay, I had mentioned before. I mentioned it is now on the air. That there is a powerful group doing community gardens, bringing inner city youth that all of Detroit seems to be an inner city of all colors into doing community gardens and other projects. No, it's called Detroit Summer. It's patroness is great. She's 94 or so, Grace Lee Boggs. And will you do something for me? When you go back, find out where they are. Go and talk to them. I'm sure they have a storefront, several storefronts somewhere. And tell them your idea and see how they... I'd like to know how they relate to it, because this is real grassroots Detroit. And maybe next week we can get a report from right. you on... a report from you... From Detroit
it's
to San Francisco. So thanks for coming down. And I see.
It's there Shakespeare.
There she is, our sister Shakespeare. How are you doing today, Shakespeare?
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, we're doing really well. So Shakespeare, I want you to shake that spear, which is a guitar, and sing us a song.
Okay, this song is called Endless Love Song.
Endless Love Song.
And I won't let you go. Thank you.
Thanks for coming.